Welcome to Souls on Fire with your host, Joe Trainer. Joe is a husband and father of three, and for 29 years was an award-winning and very successful college football coach. Today, he is the director of athletics for Pope John Paul II High School. He is a leader, a man of character, and filled with the joy of the Lord. Joe was running for God's heart and became a soul on fire. Listen in every Monday as Joe interviews other sports figures and businessmen and women who bring their faith into the marketplace. And now, here's Joe Trainer.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Souls on Fire on this final day in February. Man, it flew by. I can't believe we're staring at spring right around the corner. Pretty mild winter, but gorgeous day. I think we got a little bit of a taste of it today. We got a special program for you today, ladies and gentlemen. Tremendous guest, Philadelphia native, and he's got an amazing story. But as we begin every hour on Monday, let's begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, as Rich and I spend the next hour in faith and fellowship, we ask that our thoughts be your thoughts, our words be your words, and when we leave here tonight, that our deeds be your deeds. In Jesus' name we pray. I'm going to dedicate this show to Trish and Dr. Sinnott. Dr. Sinnott is an amazing man. Like Father Bill Atkinson, he gives inspiration and motivation to so many people, many of whom he doesn't even know and realize. And I'm one of those guys. I know Dr. Bob, his son, was a mentor of my son's, Steve, and we have a lot of mutual friends. And I know Bob Thompson, we're constantly referencing him in our men's group on Saturday mornings. And just an amazing story. And to have that steadfast, I think that was a word used in Sunday's reading, steadfast, be steadfast, be consistent, be firm. And Dr. Sinnott's faith journey certainly hasn't been easy, but he has inspired so many of us. And I know he's taken great comfort in interceding Father Bill Atkinson. As Dr. Sinnott's spent years as an accomplished doctor focusing on the brokenness of the human body with his patients, he takes comfort in Father Bill focusing on the brokenness of the human spirit as he addressed and consoled so many Catholics along the way and impacted both men, having an amazing impact on those they know and in most cases those they don't even know. So we have Rich Herron here today. Rich is the founder of Herron Home Healthcare. And under that umbrella company has Herron Medical Supplies and Herron Companions, Herron Language Services, was a grade school friend of Father Bill Atkinson. And he's an amazing, he's got the Irish wit, and he's got the little bit of the look of the devil in his eye. I'm glad we're not having beers here because I know I could get in trouble with this guy. But super excited to have you on the program, Rich.
Thank you very much for having me.
Awesome.
Appreciate it.
Awesome. I know we have some great mutual friends, Steve McWilliams, who wrote Green Bananas. The story of Father Bill Atkinson. I guess used to say, don't buy me green bananas because I don't know if I'm going to be around
right
for them. That was that's where they got the name of the book. And then Father Rob Hagen, who, as I was researching for the show today, I came across a couple interviews with Father Hagen, one of which was just an amazing homily he gave on his anniversary celebration. I think it was his 10-year anniversary celebration back in 2016. And then he gave one again this past October for Fox, as we were referring to that prior to going on the air. just about, you know, hopefully beatification into sainthood. Philadelphia, I mean, we have two in the, as Father Rob calls it, the Catholic Hall of Fame. That's what he called it on Fox today. But, you know, you have St. Mother Catherine Drexel, and then we have Bishop Newman, you know, who wasn't Philly raised, but he was, certainly as the appointed Bishop of Philadelphia, laid his roots down here, and his influence continues to be felt here today.
So. And that interview by Father Rob is on the Augustine webpage if anybody wants to listen to it.
Thank you for saying that. And that is it, folks. I'm not kidding. Father Rob, he's baptized a couple of my kids, and I've heard him at amazing funerals. But what his homily at Father Bill's anniversary, I think it was the 10-year anniversary of his death. It's the best I've ever heard. It's just, and as you and I were talking before, Rich, what an amazing priest and what an amazing human being Father Rob is. But as we got a lot to cover here, but Rich, talk about, you know, you being a Philadelphia native, talk about your upbringing, your family, high school. You went into the seminary, you know, with the Augies for a little bit, and then talk about your early journey, and certainly, you know, being childhood friends with Father Bill.
Well, it was raised in Upper Darby, St. Alice's Parish, one of six kids. We had a very happy, religious childhood. Row house people.
Mm, yep.
Father Bill was from the same piece of earth, because they lived over on the other side of the track, so to speak.
Okay.
But in those days, your community was around your parish.
Sure.
You did everything with the parish, whatever the parish was doing. Then I went to Bonner High School. Bill was a year behind me at Bonner. I get out of Bonner and went to U.S. Shipping Lines. I worked down there for a year or two. And then a good friend of mine, Father Thomas Corney, was stationed at St. Alice. And he had a heart attack, and he died at Misericordia Hospital. Mm. And that got me thinking of, all right, what are you going to do with the rest of your life?
Sure.
So I decided to interview for the Augustinians. Went into the Augustinians. I was in, and then I think Bill came in the following year. I'm not sure the dates and all.
Gotcha.
But he went to Staten Island for a year, pre-novitiate. In that time frame, as I'm growing, I'm realizing my spirituality and my relationship with God. And I came to the realization that the Holy Spirit puts us in different places for different reasons.
Amen.
And we have to say yes. If something comes before us, you can say no, but he's going to put something else in your pathway to say yes. And I think that's how I got involved with Father Bill, because when I was in West Virginia at work in Appalachia, I went to nursing school, came back, and I said to Bill, what do you need? And he says, well, I need help getting up in the mornings because the rest of the people are at school. So I started doing that, and that was a yes. And it just progressed from one day, turned out to be 30 years later.
Amazing.
You know, and it wasn't a chore. It was an opportunity. It was spiritual growth, friendship, listen to Bill give his sermons because he was the moderator of the football team. I remember, and he would mark his test papers himself. And he'd be in the dining room, which they call the refectory, and his test papers would pile on top of each other, and we would take a magic marker, a red magic marker, and put tape around it. And he would put that in his mouth so he could mark the papers. And then he would take the tip of it, and he could push the test off the top of the other test.
Gotcha.
And so I came in one day, and he's marking his test papers, and they're essay questions. And I said, you want me to flip them over so you can read the other side? He said, no, I already read enough. I know what's on the other side.
That's hilarious. And you were talking about him as a child. You know, he certainly had a brother, Al, who went on to great, you know, success at Villanova and then played 6 or 7 years in the pros.
For the New York Jets.
Yeah, won a Super Bowl, I think, Super Bowl, was it 2 or 3. And you were saying Bill was actually a better athlete than Al was.
Growing up, Bill was a better athlete and I think a little stronger, but he could really run.
And you said he was pretty shy as a kid, right?
Very shy, yeah.
Yeah, which for the Irish is funny, right? You know, that's an oxymoron. I've never heard of a shy Irish guy.
Well, I think he had to compete with his older sister Joan and Al.
Gotcha.
Because it was always Al Atkinson's brother, Al Atkinson's brother, and then when Bill was ordained, now it became.
Well, gosh, back then too, right? What the Catholics and the Italians? I mean, it was like. You know, you were on a pedestal if one of your kids went into the priesthood, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was holy ground. But you're right. It was such a great time. You know, I look at, you know, today and the challenges today, and I sound like an old curmudgeon, but, like, it's the village was raising the kids, you know. It was just like you were talking about, you know, the priest that was incredibly influential. You know, in your life, you know, where a priest would just take everybody into the car and take you to swimming pool. And then, like, you know, parents, you know, you were just, there were so many adult influences out there, you know, and it was great because, you know, parents were painting with a broad brush. And half the time, the lessons you learned didn't come from your parents. They came from someone else's father or, you know, a mentor or, you know, a priest that you were blessed to know. Who was kind of really teaching you the things, you know, the lessons to be had about life, you know?
Yes, yeah. Everybody raised the kids in the neighborhood.
No doubt. Yeah. And I feel bad today for kids not having a chance to get that opportunity. You were telling some stories about Father Bill, so now you offer your services. You got involved just a couple years after the initial accident. Is that what it was?
No, I didn't get involved with Bill until maybe 73, somewhere
there.
And
the accident was 65?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so it's
and
not...
Some of that time he was living here at Villanova.
Gotcha.
So some of the seminarians that took care of him when he was here were still taking care of him at Villanova.
You had me howling here earlier because we were talking about how, you know, his... he had his own Bill Atkinson rules of sterility and hygiene, right? It was like, give the audience a little bit of that right there with some of the his tricks of the trade.
Well, when you're trained as a nurse, everything's sterility, especially when you're inserting a Foley catheter or something like that. Well, Bill had his own way, you know. So he would get these metal pans that looked like cooking pans and glass syringes, and he would boil them. Instead of buying this stuff every so many, you know, a month.
Sure.
And then that would go on, you know, and it just rigged me like, you can't do this, you know. I've been doing it for 10 years.
I'll get fired. I'll lose my nursing license if we get caught doing this stuff.
And we just kept it up that way, and it worked fine for him.
Funny other story I'm going to ask you to repeat, but... When Dr. Boyle, you know, Dr. Boyle was Father Bill's
physician. He met Dr. Boyle down in Hahnemann Hospital and McGee.
And then as he retires and his son takes over, so tell the audience a little bit about transition.
Dr. Boyle Sr. says to his son, when you go see Father Bill, if he tells you something, then do it. Don't worry about your medical degree because he knows what's wrong with his body.
Sure.
And if he doesn't want to go in the hospital, he's not going to go, so don't force him to go in the hospital.
That's hilarious. Obviously, you become, you know, pretty, you know, 30 years with him, you know, out of the, you know, talk about the corporal works of mercy. I mean, not taking a dime. But, you know, dealing with the highs and lows of that relationship, I mean, you know, because I know there had to be, even though, especially for all of us when we lose loved ones, we try, you know, we remember the highlights, you know, rightfully so, because those are the memories that keep us going forward and that we hold on to. But, you know, when you're dealing with something, you know, the post-life of a tragedy that is, you know, 40 years long, it had to be. Did you feel a sense of, like, having to bring the juice, like, when you met with them, like, just to kind of keep them upbeat and positive? Or was it just kind of, did you just say, listen, I'm just going to be myself every day and,
Just be yourself every day. And he was himself every day. He didn't put on airs.
Yeah.
If he was sick, he would tell you. Half the time, when he was sick, he wanted to get out of bed because he's afraid of getting pneumonia.
Sure.
You know, and he's got a fever and he's coughing. And, you know, you want him to stay in bed, but you got to do what he wanted to do because it was his body.
Sure.
You know. And with the emotional needs, his younger sister, Patty's little baby, 3 years old, I think Scotty was, got a brain tumor.
Mm.
And so Bill sends me upstairs after we come. He's eating his breakfast. And, I guess I went upstairs to turn those pots off. I come back down, and the tears are coming down Bill's eyes. And he said, they just told me that Scotty died. So here's a man who's grieving for this baby, and he can't wipe the tears from his own eyes. And they're just rolling down his cheeks.
Holy mackerel, man, that's powerful.
Yeah.
As I was referring to Dr. Sinnott, I'm going to take a second and read his poem. I know he wrote a lot of poetry, but he wrote The Strength of Others. And I pulled this up today. It's kind of an amazing, beautiful, it's a poem, but it's really a prayer. So I'm going to take a minute to read that right now. The Strength of Others. How do you do it, people would say, so confining day after day, having others around for constant care? Ever wonder if life's unfair? How do you do it, people would ask? Is it better now than in the past to see others do what you did before, realizing you cannot do them anymore? How do you do it, people have said, needing help in and out of bed? Doubts at times, patience wearing thin, even ever wonder how it will end? How do you do it day after day? The path taken was not my way. The choice was another's, not my own. He sent me help, couldn't do it alone. How'd I do it? Let me confide, always with others right at my side. Family and friends from the start gave me love in no small part. How'd I do it day after day? Would not have it any other way. They shared triumphs and setbacks too, been blessed when I look back in review. How'd I do it? Let me reply. On those who helped me, I totally relied. They taught me to live, not just to cope. With their love, they gave me hope. How'd I do it, day after day? Help of others along the way. Valued friends, sisters, brothers, I simply borrowed the strength of others. Wow. Crazy, right? I mean, and I'm reminded, I think that was the time to read it, because you're talking about, here is this man who, the capacity for empathy, right, where you know, where he could, you know, you would think he would just be so consumed with his own plight. And I know Dr. Sinnott, you know, and does the same. I mean, he's praying daily for the people around him that are taking care of him, and he's worried about, you know, as the husband and father that he is, the Catholic, devoted Catholic disciple he is, he's worried about everyone else around him. When he, you know, he could certainly, you know, feel sorry for himself or you know, kind of focus all of his attention on himself.
And these poems that he wrote, and there's a number of them in the book, Green Bananas, he'd be laying in bed at night, maybe awake at 2 o'clock in the morning, be thinking of maybe the poem. He would memorize those verses in his head.
And wait till the next day to put it.
And then
to
when
paper.
You come in the morning, he said, write this down for me.
Wow. That's
and he would
awesome.
Spill it off. And he would do the same with the cryptogram. He'd do the cryptogram in the inquiry. If he couldn't get it, he'd go back the next day and say, try these letters, see if these. He had the thing memorized.
That's hilarious. That is hilarious.
Another time we... He sent me upstairs to get them. They got a stipend every month.
Yeah.
So he would keep it in his Bible upstairs because he liked to save his money for the summer, because they go down to Ocean City with sister's house. And he would take some of the kids down with him to take care of them. And he liked to have money to buy them stuff. Also take the kids to the Dairy Queen, stuff like that. So I go upstairs to get some money. And I said, Bill, I can't find it. Well, look here, look in the file cabinet, go back up, can't find it. I come back down, I said, can't find a bill. I said, the window cleaners were here yesterday. And he says, well, I guess he needs it better than I do.
No way. Holy
crap. Like, man. He wasn't going to go to the prior and get more money. It's just, it's going to get on with life.
That's a great yeah. attitude.
Yeah.
It really is. Control what you work, what you can control, right?
Yeah.
Worry about what you can control. You and I were talking about it before, and I love the analogy that the Father Rob uses, the Hall of Fame for Catholics, right? Sainthood is Hall of Fame, and the reality is it would be amazing and it would be awesome and deserving more than anything, but you can still be saintly. You don't have to be canonized a saint. I mean,
Bishop Sheen says a saint with a small s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And God knows, I know you know a lot of people like that. There's countless people that I could think of off the top of my head that are like that. And, one of the things I love about Catholicism is so many different platforms to worship, right? I think, Protestant, it's you have the word, right? The divinely inspired word of God, which is the Bible. But, we have adoration, we have novenas, we have confession, we have the sacramental mass, we have saintly intercession, and I think, I know in the last, like for me, the last, probably only in the last 3 years have I felt, a burning desire to kind of, look into the litany of the saints, I know the Laudate, I try and read that in the morning, the app, and it has, a saint of the day, you'll have a feast day and then kind of, little bio about them. I know when you go to mass, a lot of times the priest will say, not the big feast days like St. Joseph and those, but like, there's usually a feast day of every day there's a feast day, but just kind of, there's tremendous beauty in that, in the sense of, these are people that were born, flawed, like all of us, right? Because they weren't, they were born in the likeness of God, but they have the capacity for sin, but they're able to overcome that sinfulness, I think there's tremendous comfort that you get, like I think when with saintly intercession, I know for me in the last couple of years, that's definitely something that I've kind of tried to highlight in my faith journey.
Bill used to say, as soon as you think you have humility, you don't.
That's the truth. That's the truth. Process. So I guess in October, I think they sent the package to
when this new provincial came in, Father Mike DeGorio, he said, I want to get together with you and a couple other people and explore this sainthood for Bill. So that was the first inkling that the Augies were ready to get on board with this, because Mary Moody, his cousin, who runs In the Mood to Cruise, she has so much stuff on Bill that she's been saving from day one. She has loose leaf books of stuff. Mm. And so they called in a priest from Rome. He has a fancy title. And the provincial sat 25 people in this room at Villanova. And we had to go around.
Who was he getting? I know you were part of that. But who was he going? Where did he get the list? Is it, you got to talk to Rich Heron. Like, where do you come up with that?
The provincial came up with some Augustinians, lay people that he knew were involved with Bill.
Okay.
And just went word of mouth.
Gotcha. Okay. So I interrupted.
A lot of family members.
Yep.
And we went around the room, not in any order, and people would tell stories of why they think Bill should be a saint. And after it was over, about an hour and a half later, the priest says, well, you convinced me. Then he proceeds to hand out this, I think it was 25 questions, essay questions, that had to be filled out, mailed back to the provincial in a sealed envelope, and then they would go to Rome to start this process. And these were essay questions. They were, it was worse than Theology 101. And they really went, intensified into this process. Then when that was approved, then they came back. The Chaput opened up the cause for sainthood here in Philadelphia. It has to go through the bishop where the person died.
Gotcha.
So Chaput started this process, and we had to be interviewed by three people, a priest from the seminary and two lay people. I think one was a psychiatrist. And anyway, they interviewed me for 3 hours. They interviewed 25 people for 3 hours.
Wow.
And this went on for like a year.
Wow.
And it was all recorded. And then
when they asked you, why do you think you should be a saint, what was your answer?
Because he's a mystic. He was on a different plane than everybody else.
Mm, spiritually.
Spiritually, yeah. He just radiant. Remember his situation? You know, went over to Bonner, and he had just come back from school, and he was red in the face. He was livid. I never saw him like that before. I said, what happened? Oh, he's gone. This person really aggravated me, and he would drink tea every day, a mug, because they wanted him to drink three liters of tea a day or water or something.
Sure, to keep hydrated.
Yeah. And he says, he does that for a while, and then he says, well, I guess I piss people off once in a while, too. And that was the end of it. Yeah.
That's funny. But he was really that dialed in spiritually.
Yes. Yeah. And he would meditate a lot. Meditate. Sometimes he would go in the chapel at the school and sit there in front of the Blessed Sacrament and just meditate.
Mm. Mm. That's awesome. I'm going to read a prayer from as we head into the break. I'm going to read a quick prayer from Dr. Sinnott that he wrote. I know in our prayer group we say it a lot, and you know, again, the need for the ability, I should say, when you know your humanity tells you to focus on yourself and your trials and tribulations, but to overcome your humanity and focus on your loved ones is truly divine. But this is, as we get into, as we head into the break, I'm going to read this. This is a prayer that Dr. Sinnott wrote. Dear Jesus, grant me the strength to carry the cross you have asked me to bear. Allow the hope for better days, whether they be in this life or the next. I ask for your healing in any way you see fit and in conformity to your will. And please provide your enduring love and guidance to those around me, so that they may adapt to the challenges that this cross presents. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Truly from Christ, that you can focus on the people that are there trying to comfort you in your illness and your ailment, and just amazing ability. And that was Christ. That was the ability to transcend yourself and just to focus on other people. Folks, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll be back with Rich Heron, primary caregiver for Father Bill Atkinson for over 30 years. We'll be back after these messages.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Folks, welcome back to Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Trainer, back here with Rich Herron, founder and president of Herron Home Healthcare, and for 30 years, primary caregiver for Father Bill Atkinson, childhood friend, grew up with him in the same parish, and just an amazing story. You know, it's funny, I think, you know, as I'm thinking no such thing as a coincidence. Like, you know, here you are, you know, you go to Bonner, you know, you get in the, you start working a couple of years in, you go in the seminary, you know, and then for a couple of reasons that doesn't work out. And then you go back to nursing school. And then what does God put in front of you? He tasks you with being somebody, the main caregiver, gives you the medical background you need to basically be Father Bill's lifeline for his entire life. And, you know, it's amazing how, you know, we talk about it, like whether you say no, you know, you can say no all you want, but God's going to keep giving you opportunities, and he's going to hit you over the head with something. But there you are, you're down in West Virginia, you had left the seminary, and you know, you're one of your good friends was a priest down there, and you're like, I'm going to go back to nursing school. You know what I mean? Like, that's an amazing story. And there's no, God's always working, you know, and yes. You don't, you know, there you are, you know, and you've obviously had a capacity for the medical field, but there you are, like, little did you think, you know, years later, you would have assumed such a large role where you're being interviewed, basically, to legitimize, you know, Father Bill's candidacy, you know, potentially as a saint, a canonized saint.
And I would always have those opportunities in working the intensive care unit, because we had a lot of deaths in the intensive care unit.
No doubt.
But I would ask the parents if you want me to pray over the baby. And I would take the baby in my arms and with the parents there. And the Holy Spirit would just give me these words.
Can't even
to
imagine.
Bring some joy to these parents who had just lost a baby. And they've been there every day, maybe for a year, maybe a year and a half.
This is a CHOP, when you were a CHOP.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. I'm going to read, I don't want to be too wordy here, but Bob actually sent me a prayer from Archbishop Chaput. About Father Bill, and it goes, this is the first time, I didn't see this before Bob sent it to me today, but blessed are you, Father of life, source of goodness and peace, in whom all creation has its origin, and by whom every person is loved. In Father Bill Atkinson, your mercy and compassion were made manifest as he brought solace to the suffering and hope to the needy. By carrying the cross of life faithfully, he proclaimed confidence in your love and conformity to your will, and so drew others to you and to the generous gift of your grace. Hear our prayers, which we offer through his intercession, so that as your work continues to unfold among us, it may bring honor to you, comfort to your people, and according to your will, glory to your servant. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Powerful prayer that is.
Chaput wrote that.
Yeah. 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 For Father Bill. You know, we just kind of, as I was researching for this show, Rich, you know, I didn't realize it at the time, but it was St. John Paul, Father John, Pope John Paul, it used to be 50 years, which never, didn't really make sense to me. You had to be dead for 50 years before before Pope John Paul came on board. You had to wait 50 years for somebody to be canonized a saint. And I almost feel like you lose momentum at that point, right? I mean,
now it's only 5 years.
Yeah, now he and then in some cases, like I call it the Roberto Clemente rule. Like he went into the Hall of Fame the year after he died. But I think Mother Teresa like was put up for canonization immediately.
Yeah,
and John Paul didn't have to go through the same thing there too. So, but I almost feel like, you know, because of the logistical would be the wrong term, but because of the volume of information that goes into, you know, meeting the thresholds of, you know, beatification and then sainthood. Like, it's such a long process to begin with. If you waited 50 years to table it, it's almost like, you know, you've lost all the firsthand accounts, right? It's like, you know, the synoptic gospels. It's like, you know, you always feel like the people that saw Christ, it all happened. But like, you feel like when there's firsthand accounts, it's you feel like it verifies, you know, it legitimizes the process too, you know?
Yes. And the first, after the 5 years, you only need two miracles now.
Yeah.
Where you needed three before.
Yeah. You know?
And then also with Bill, there's no writings that they have to comb through and check for theology and everything else.
Sure.
So that eliminates that whole process.
Sure.
So we're hoping that that speeds us up a little bit. And then they, I have seen some of the letters that came in about people who were praying to Father Bill and had stage 4 cancer.
Sure.
And there's one person that had stage 4 cancer. Was in her oncologist office, and the doctor came in. The doctor had tears in her eyes. And this woman said, well, I guess this is it, you know. Pack my bags, I'm out of here. And she said, we cannot find cancer anywhere in your body.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And this woman wrote a whole letter to Bishop explaining what happened to her.
Wow.
And that letter was put in with these other letters that went to Rome.
I understand. I understand the need for that. I really do. But like, I look at Dr. Sennett, right? Here's a guy that, like, the countless people he's either brought to the faith or brought back to the faith because they see such devotion in times of tragedy, the life that Father Bill Atkinson led to, right? Like that was miraculous. You know, that he didn't sour, that he remained steadfast. He remained true. I know one of my favorite, I did a paper one time on the wedding of Cana, you know, and, you know, obviously, you know, I always say, you know, I always think Christ was Irish because his first miracle was around alcohol, right? So, and he did live at home though he was 30, so that's part of it too. So, Augustine would say when they would ask him about, you know, the wedding of Cana, this is in the 300s, right? 330, 340. And he would say, yeah, we're all worried about, like, the conversion, and we're all consumed with, all of us are consumed with, you know, what he did with the water in the six jugs. But like, how about the rain that transfers the grapes into wine that happens, you know, every, you know, 50, 60 days a year? Like, what about that miracle? You know, and I know the miracle of the planet, you know, and creation, you know, and it's, you know, the theologians don't want to talk about that because then they would say, well, then everything is a miracle. But everything is a miracle. Yeah. The birth of a child, right? Looking into the eyes of a newborn, or waking up to a sun, you know, a beautiful sunrise, or, you know, seeing love in the arms of another. I mean, it's all miraculous. And I know I do get it, because there has to be, you know, it is the Hall of Fame for, you know, for Catholics. But sometimes I think there's miracles in the mundane too. There's miracles in the day to day. You know, the fact that Bill Atkinson or Dr. Bobby Sennett can just get up every day and pray and be thankful and be grateful and create prayers that are focusing on other people. There's nothing more godlike than that, in my opinion.
And Bill liked to play practical jokes on people too.
Did he?
He was a that real Irish would come out of them. And,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Any good ones you remember?
A teacher at Bonner had struck a deer. And he comes into school complaining his car is beat up, blah, blah, blah. Well, Bill had a friend who was a Springfield cop. And John said, well, let's send him a letter, and he owes the state money for such and such.
Oh, God. And how long did he go on with it?
It looked official. It was like...
That's hilarious.
And then he comes in complaining about, they want $500.
On my teaching salary. How long... when did he tell him the jig was up? When did he...
I think this went on for a month.
Is that right? That's hilarious. That is too funny. Too funny. I know people that were at school in those 80s and 90s, and I mean, they said his person, you know, he was amazing, man. He just had a way with kids. You know, he had a way, you know, and again, I think priest in general, I think, you know, priest in education, you have to be wired a little differently than just a traditional, parish priest, you know, and then certainly nothing against that. We need them all, but I think it's a vocation within a vocation,
yeah,
for you to be particular. I'm not talking about, you know, a priest that's teaching theology or psychology at Villanova. I'm talking about for somebody to be around, you know, males in high school, males and high school kids all together. You have to have, I don't want to say irreverence, but there's got to be a level of tolerance to
well, the powers that be told Bill in the beginning that we don't think you'd be able to teach because they're going to walk all over you.
You know? Yeah, he got the last laugh on that
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
No doubt.
And they respected him.
Absolutely.
And when he had this electric wheelchair. He kept the wheelchair forever and ever, but this thing was noisy, and you could hear it coming down the hallway. So the kids knew to shut up because
sure.
they could hear him coming.
That's hilarious.
Gets a new wheelchair. It's quiet, as quiet as a mouse. Goes in the back door of the classroom.
Sure.
Doesn't say anything, just sits in his wheelchair. And all of a sudden, the word starts spreading.
Sure.
Yeah. I fooled you that time, guys.
That's hilarious. That's too funny. And you were just telling us at the break that his body is going to be exhumed, right? I didn't realize that.
They're talking, the provincial wants to put him in the main church at Villanova. So they got Villanova's permission from Father Pete Donahue, and they got the Augustinian Council of Augustinians, they're for it. So they want to exhume the body from Conshohocken and build
Calvary, he's at Calvary Cemetery right over
yeah.
in Conshohocken, right? Yeah.
And put him in the cathedral, put a tomb thing in the church.
Wow.
They've already had an architect draw something up. I guess the rest is to raise some money to make it happen, but they're waiting, I think, for his next step in sainthood. Right now he's considered a servant of God.
Which was the next step, right?
The next step is, I think it might be blessed, but
I think it is. I think it is blessed. I was looking it up today. Yeah, it was blessed.
Yeah,
and then beatification, right?
I think there's another step. But
is there one more? But I think when I was looking up today about it, it was, you know, I guess the kind of the operational phrase that they use. It's a heroic life of virtue.
Yes,
was that's kind of the, you know, when they're gathering all this information. You know, the fact-finding, so to speak, and, you know, like you were saying, you know, all those people, lay people, you know, clergy, you know, men, women, children, everybody involved in someone's life, it's the metrics that they're using is, was this a life of heroic virtue? And then obviously one of the criteria is, you know, miracles that can be attributed. But
And in the course of the day at Bonner, Bill would pick kids out to empty his leg bag.
No way.
Yeah. And they go into the restroom. And he had a...
That's amazing.
Stuck in... He had his tube stuck in his sock.
Imagine doing that today. Kids would... Oh, my God. Kids... I'm laughing. I can't believe... I'm thinking hilarious. I can imagine one of my kids being like, wait, Father, what did you just ask me to do? That is awesome. Oh, my gosh. And
so then he would find the kids that were into it or didn't mind it.
Sure.
Or was okay with it. And they would ask them to come in the morning to help myself. There wasn't just, oh, I'm not the only caregiver. There was lots of caregivers.
Oh, yeah, I would imagine, no doubt.
A lot of people. Ted Donnelly was a Bonner kid, went to nursing school, used to help out. John Ryan, the Springfield police officer, the late John Ryan, who came up with this idea for this play a game on the teacher. So the kids would come in the morning, and usually we just had them get there at a time when I would already have Bill dressed. So there wouldn't be any issues with that because it would have scared these kids off.
Sure.
So after a while, some of the kids would volunteer to do stuff. They were really into it. And then he would call the parents up, especially the mother. You know, what do you think, Johnny, coming in and getting me up in the morning? Do you think this is good? Do you think he's just doing it to keep me happy? And
wow,
this mother, this one time, he had a speakerphone that the AT&T made for him in the beginning that he could dial it, had things sticking out, and he could dial the phone out. And the speaker talked to the parents. And this mother is saying, "Father, you don't know how much this has changed my son's life."
Oh, my
life.
God, I can't imagine.
Yeah. He's a different boy.
Absolutely. Yeah. What a gift he gave those kids.
Yeah.
Truly a gift.
Yeah.
And for him to have, I don't want to say calculating would be a negative connotation, but he was smart enough to know what he was giving these kids. You know, like he was, it wasn't like he was in asking for that. He knew that there was going to be a gift to be had with that, you know, and those kids, I mean, I can imagine like all these years later, you know, servant leadership, right? I mean, that's what, you know, that's what all great leaders do. They're serving. And then these, I'm sure these young people in school that were asked to do that, like they went on to, you know, it's amazing that they had an opportunity to do that. And what a blessing that turned out to be for them.
Yeah.
Is Villanova, is it just, and again, I'm trying to visualize. I mean, I was just up at the cathedral in St. Patrick's in New York City, but like if they put the body in there, is it in, it's in its casket and entombed in part of the church, or how would that look, you know?
I don't know the logistics from that standpoint, because sometimes they take the body and put it in a glass coffin.
Yeah, that's what, yeah, yeah. I didn't know.
If he comes blessed, then they dig the body up, and that's when they start to take relics.
Gotcha.
Piece of hair, piece of skin, that type of thing. And that's when, if the body has not decomposed, then that's a miracle in itself.
Okay. Yeah. Is that a deal breaker if the body's composed?
No.
No. Okay.
No. When you go into the St. Thomas and you go up to the main aisle, it'll be on the left-hand side.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And then there's a an Augustinian priest down at St. Augustine's in Philly, Father Paul Morrissey. He wanted to get a statue of Father Bill to put in his healing garden. He has a garden next to the church. He does a lot of ministry in the local prison and the homeless.
I've actually spoken to him on the phone, yeah.
Yeah, oh, great.
Father Rob connected me with him.
Yeah. So Paul comes up with this idea of he wants a Bill in a wheelchair, but he wants a bench next to it, and Bill looking at the person, if the person was sitting on a bench. He wants people to come there, sit, and meditate. So he got Mary and I involved in this. And then Mary's a go-getter. She got some of the alumni to get involved in it because she's looking for people to raise money to make this happen. So they were already talking to the sculptor in Canada. He's done a couple pieces. Did you ever see the homeless Jesus on a park bench?
Yeah, that's powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did that statue.
Wow.
So the Paul wanted one at St. Augustine's. Now Bonner wants one. And Villanova's probably going to want one.
Sure.
And the provincial in Rome, the Joe Farrell,
he's a Villanova guy, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. I know when all the being at Villanova for all those years, it was you know, any of the people that went over, you know, hey, I got to get a hold of Father Farrell. I'll get the personal tour of the Vatican. And I know he's been great. I know friends of mine that went over to Rome. You know, he's giving them the kind of the carte blanche tour. You know, he's kind of, you know.
Well, he's right there. You look out his windows, there's the domes for the Vatican's right yeah, there.
That's, and he's been over there for how many years, right?
Oh, at least going on eight, maybe.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a permanent, I mean, is that a lifetime position, or is that, will he be, no. Was it like other priests where you might be
reassigned? Elected.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So he.
The new Father General came in, and then he stayed another 4 years.
Gotcha. Okay, so it's a four-year appointment.
I think it's 4 years, yeah.
I gotcha. Now, you might not know this, but when you, if in fact you, Father Bill is canonized a saint, is it obviously you were in his inner circle. Is it something, you know, God willing, you're still, you know, we're still alive, and it's in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years. Do you have an opportunity to go over there and celebrate that, or how would that work?
Well, it could be in Rome, or it could be here in Philly.
Oh wow,
yeah.
That's awesome.
As Mary Moody and I always say, well, at least we'll be in the last pew in the back of the church, because everybody will jump on the bandwagon by then.
Sure, sure. Now, so in October, when they interviewed Father Rob. There were, not that there was a finality with it, but it was like they're outside of miracles that they're attributing to potential miracles that are attributing to Father Bill, is kind of the file closed, or is it like I got the impression after reading some articles on it, you know, in October, I think it was October 21st, it was the official folder or file was sent to Pope Francis.
Yes, that's true.
And is that no more addendums, no more add-ons?
No, it can be submitted for something
else. It can stay
else.
Open.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because this letter I was talking about earlier, that came in after the fact also.
Okay. Now, do they have, and again, not knowing enough about, I should know more about it, but I got to think throughout the world, he's not the only one that's in this. There's probably a number of, kind of a working group of.
Dorothy Day. Canonization.
Yep.
And she has a lot of writings.
Yeah, and I think has she been beatified or blessed?
I don't know.
I thought she was, because I just read an amazing book, from her about what an amazing life she led. I mean, crazy. I mean, the Catholic workers and all that, but, woman who had suffered through an abortion, you know, and then the regret of that. And, but again, like, you know, one of the things I try and pray every day is just, you know, hey God, Jesus Christ, give me the opportunity to save myself from my sinfulness. Right. You know, and there's a level of that, you know, there's Dorothy Day, like there's a potential saint. Like what a beautiful story that is. We have a potential saint in the most reverent classification of living Catholics, people who have, you know, walked the earth, and she suffered through an abortion. She made the decision.
She said yes.
Yeah. And but like, just it's incredibly inspiring. You know, you look at Augustine, right? You know, he has a child out of wedlock. You know, and I mean I don't want to minimize their accomplishments, but you know, for degenerates like myself, I take comfort in knowing that there's people that, you know, may have walked a little bit of the path that I'm walking or have walked, and I do. I think there's like, I love the fact that, you know, of all, you know, forms of Christianity. You know, we have so many just beautiful vignettes. You know, you have Stations of the Cross. You have, you know, Adoration. You have Novena. You know, Confession, Mass, and we can dial into whatever. You know, I find myself in my last 5 years of life, as I've kind of gone through a spiritual awakening. You know, I have pockets of. Intensity is probably not the right word, but I feel drawn to Stations of the Cross for a period of time, or I feel drawn to Adoration, you know, I feel drawn to, and then not that it'll wear out its welcome, because that doesn't happen, but then I just love the fact that we have a lot of different avenues of worship,
I'm a miraculous metal Novena person.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Definitely. And dear friends that, you know, the Novenas, I mean, is there anything more? It's one of the more powerful gifts that we have at our disposal.
And my mother was a big believer in the Blessed Mother.
Yeah.
And all of us were dedicated to the Blessed Mother.
That's awesome.
So we had to wear blue for the first 7 years.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And how many kids were in the family?
Six.
Six kids. Yeah. Is everybody still, did everybody leave far from the nest, or was everybody still in kind of?
No, they're still in the geographical area, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that's and their awesome. Kids are far away as Brooklyn and Massachusetts, but.
Well, today's context, that's not that far. Right. You can get on a bus or you can get on a train and or a short flight up to Massachusetts.
And with the people that volunteered to take care of Bill, we were talking about this the night he died, myself and Ted Donnelly, that It just wasn't us, but it was our families also.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Our wives had to check into this that says, you know, you're going to be away from the home.
Yeah.
I remember one situation when my kids were growing. And I'm sitting at the kitchen table, and my wife's doing the dishes. And I said, I'm going to cut back on taking care of Bill because now we've got two boys now. And it's too much work for you. And she turns around to me and she says, no, you're not. That's one of the reasons I married you.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
So then I started taking the kids to Bonner with me on Sunday mornings. And little did I know that they're hitting the refrigerator for the Cokes.
That's awesome. But that's an amazing point, too. Like the sacrifice that, you know, and we're talking about a lifetime of commitment, too. It was almost like at the level of like a marriage in terms. This wasn't like, it's one thing to take care of somebody and they're suffering for 6 months,
yeah,
or for, you know, or maybe a year or two. But like, you know, you were there. I mean, that's a 30-year commitment and time. You know, it was really, you know, the whole Heron family that made that commitment. It wasn't just, you know, you, because there was lost opportunity for, you know, that was time being taken away from other things. And obviously your family was amazingly understanding and supportive with that. But, and to your point, you were a cog in the wheel, a very important cog in the wheel, but there was other families that made that same type of commitment and that sacrifice.
When we were still, most of us were still living at home at Locust Street, and Bill came home sometimes on the weekends to his parents' house on Samson Street in Upper Darby. One night, Mrs. Atkinson calls my mother up and says, "We had to. Nobody here to lift Bill up the steps to get to the house. Can you send some boys over?" My mother says, "No problem." She comes into the living room. Mrs. Atkinson needs help with Bill to get him up the steps. Nobody moves. And then she says, in her Irish way, "Now."
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. We know that tone. I think we've all lived through that. That's awesome. That's an amazing story. And, you know, I hope.
It was a pleasure and an honor taking care of him. There was nothing that was stressful about it. It was just so easy going.
Well, you're an amazing man, Rich. Yeah. I mean that. And you're calling, you know.
You're listening to Steve McWilliams too much.
No. He goes, this guy is. He's, you know, and I know he was, I didn't realize Green Bananas came out that's as old as it is. 2012 was when it finished. I didn't realize that. But he, you know, right from the beginning, I'm glad we connected and I'm glad he put me in touch with you, because you're definitely living a Christ-like love of servitude, and you're living the gospel, and everything that you've done, is certainly appreciated. So I appreciate being here.
And Mary Moody and I, we go out and give talks on Father Bill. So if anybody is interested, wants to come to their parish or group.
That's awesome.
We'll go anywhere.
That's awesome. Yeah. I appreciate it. God bless. Folks, it's time to leave here. Wish you a great week, and thanks again for joining us.